If you have your Bibles this morning, this is not our text, but it's something that I want to read first. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Book of Matthew chapter 1. When I was asked to do the Bible study, you pray about it and you look at scripture and stuff, and I got to thinking about the world that we live in, and I got to thinking about the most important thing that I can think about. I got to thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I thought about him, I thought about, when he was here on this earth, he faced controversy and adversity, and all down through the ages. Things have been said about him. Some people believe this, some people believe that, and the world is so full today. It's as worse today as it's ever been. The world is so full of many different gods, many different Jesuses. Some believe this, some believe that. And I got to thinking, well, let's see what the Holy Scriptures say about our Lord Jesus Christ, because it don't matter what people think about him. It don't matter what people say about him. But let's see what the Holy Word of God says. This Word was given by the inspiration of God, and it is absolute truth. And every word of this, it was penned by men, but God told these men what to write. So what we're going to do is, this morning, we're just going to look and see what God says about the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his title of the lesson is, Jesus Christ is Our Lord. And in the book of Matthew, I'm going to start here. In the book of Matthew, beginning in verse 20, first chapter, verse 20, this is what the Holy Word says about our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but while he thought on these things, that's Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And listen to this. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, in verse 23, listen to this. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There are so many millions of people in this world that believe in God, but they have a problem with the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ said himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto God but by me. There are so many people in this world today that worship God, but there's no way that a man, can go to God except through his high priest. And our high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. As a man, he was set up on the earth. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says this, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, speaking of the elect, that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Even as God, he was always in heaven. In John 3:13, the Bible says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. We'll go to our text, which is Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. Look at verse 6. It says, In chapter 2 of Philippians, it says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? To say that Jesus Christ is Lord is, first of all, is to acknowledge that He is Almighty God. He is the sustainer and the creator of all things. Turn over a couple of pages here, one page here to Colossians chapter 1. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It says, this is talking about the Lord Jesus. This is who God, the Word of God, says He is. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Verse 18, and He is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And then over in John, first chapter, speaking of Jesus Christ our Lord, this is what the Word of God says of Him. First chapter, first verse, and the 14th verse says, in the beginning was the Word, which was Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Word was made, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in the 14th verse it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then in Isaiah 43, the last part of verse 10 and verse 11 says, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And God the Father Himself said in Hebrews 1:8, but unto the Son He said, thou throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. His kingdom is a kingdom of sovereign righteousness. And then when talking about our Lord Jesus, He is present in all places at once. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's all powerful. Listen to this promise and what a precious promise it is. And there are so many other verses, but Philippians 3:21 says this, who shall change our vile bodies? Now to think about it. You know, we look at the world today and we see what shape it's in. We think it's an awful shape. There's so much sin out there. And then when I look in the mirror, I even get sicker because I see who I am and I know what's inside of me. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. But He says right here in this verse, He says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? That's a promise of our Lord. According to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And then our Lord Jesus, He is all-knowing. Romans 11:33. The Bible says, the Word of God, oh, the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And then He's unchanging. In Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He forgives sins. Who can forgive sins? No one but God Himself. In Matthew 9:2, and behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, laying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Christ Jesus our Lord receives worship, and He's been given all power in heaven and in earth. Now you think about that, all power in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:17-18. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, and some doubted, as they do today. And Jesus come and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then in Galatians 2:9, think about this. For in our Lord Jesus Christ, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. And if we are one of His elect, we are complete in Him. The Bible says that He is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. And I thank Him for the glory of that. And then in John 10, He plainly says that I and my Father are one. Whenever we read this Bible, when we read the Word of God here, we're seeing God in action. When we read of the works of Christ, we hear the words as recorded in the New Testament. We're hearing the words of God. When we hear God, when we hear Christ express emotion, we are listening to the heart of God. In Isaiah 6:1, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Word says, in the year that King Uzziah died, saw also, listen to this, the Lord setting up on the throne, high and lifted up, and His crown filled the temple. Christ our Lord is God in the fullest possible sense. Therefore, being God, He is absolute sovereign in creation, salvation, and in providence. And that's something you don't hear in the religious world very much. He is absolute sovereign. One of the definitions that I come up with that a preacher thought was a very good definition, and it is, what do we mean by the sovereignty of God? And that is this right here. Too many people today won't allow God to be God. They don't think that Christ's blood is sufficient. It's grace plus works. But right here it says, the sovereignty of God is His absolute, speaking of God alone, it is His absolute independent right to dispose of the world and all the creatures according to His own good pleasure. And His good pleasure is without constraints. I've actually heard preachers say that God is obligated to man. And that sounds so ridiculous. But God possesses supreme or ultimate power in the physical and in the physical world. God is absolutely sovereign in creation. I read this a while ago, but I'm going to read it again. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then in Galatians 1:16-17, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. And I thank God for that. And that's what the Word of God says about it. And all things consist by Him. Romans 4:11, the Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure. It's not our pleasure. He's not there for us. I mean, we need Him. He don't need us. But he says here that He is worthy to receive all glory, honor, and power. For Thou have created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and they were created. In Psalms 135:6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all the deep places, is of the Lord. You know, He says in the book of Daniel, He says, I do it according to my will, in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay my hand. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then the Lord is absolute sovereign in salvation. And this is something that man, most religious men, have so much problems with because they want to add to it. But He's absolute sovereign. Now, I love that word absolute when I talk of God, when I talk of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolute, complete. But He is absolute and complete. Jonah said in 2:9, he said that salvation is of the Lord. And then the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That pleases every one of us, doesn't it? But anyway, salvation is of the Lord in its origination, in its execution, in its application, in its sustaining power, in its ultimate perfection. There's no place for man there. It's all of God. And I'll show you that. In its origination, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, God's word says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit in the belief of the truth. If then the salvation of the Lord is sovereign in his execution, Galatians 4:45 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. Who's them? The elect. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. If then the salvation is of the Lord in its application, Galatians 1:15 says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I grown you. If in salvation of the Lord is sovereign in his sustaining power, man today thinks they have to do it. But no, it's all, we are kept by the power of God. If you will, if you don't care, if you'll turn to the book of Jude, it's just before the book of Revelation, one chapter. I love this right here. The last two verses of the book of Jude. When we talk about the sustaining power, listen to this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. If you don't care, if you turn to Revelation 21, salvation of the Lord is in its ultimate perfection. He started it, he'll finish it. But in Revelation 21, verses 3 through 6, the Word of God says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a first of the fountain of the water of life freely. When it comes to redeeming a lost soul, it is all by the person, the work, and the sacrifice of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord is absolute sovereign in providence. And that's something else that a lot of people have a problem with. A lot of people think that Satan and God is in competition for one another, but Satan is no more than a created being. He's an angel. But the Lord is absolute sovereign in providence. Romans 11:36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Philippians 2:13. God's word says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ephesians 11:1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And we are all so very familiar with this verse right here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called to his purpose. You know, we don't joy in tribulation. We don't joy in suffering and disease and pain and hurt. but we enjoy in the effect because they're to grow us closer to the Lord. You know, the Bible says, love not the world and evil things that are in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. But we are to, the sufferings that we face in this world, the hardships that we face, it draws us apart from this world and draws us closer to the world that is to come. And we thank Him for that. But once we see and we agree, when we truly have confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we truly have confidence in the Word of God, we can accept the hard things or whatever comes into our lives as part of His sovereign will and purpose. And it's for His glory, and it's for our eternal good. It's for our eternal good. If you will, go back to Philippians 2. I'd like to read verses 6 through 8. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We see here in these verses the humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He not only took upon himself the likeness of a man, but the form of a servant. His whole life, when you read it and look at it, was a life of humiliation, meanness, poverty, and disgrace. The Bible says he has nowhere to lay his head. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53:3. The Bible says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And the lowest step of his humiliation was him dying on the cross. He became obedient. He not only suffered, but was actually involuntarily obedient. That's something that is hard, very hard for me to understand. All the pain and the suffering that he went through. In John 10:18, God's word says that Jesus himself said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Even the death of the cross, a curse, painful and shameful death, a death accursed by the law, because it says, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. But he was so full of pain, his hands and his feet were nailed to the cross, and he had the full weight of his body on him. And he stood there, he was on that cross for about 9 hours. Now you imagine 9 hours. And it says that the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We think about the physical pain, but think about the mental pain that he went through. I cannot imagine my Father turning his back on me. But God couldn't look upon him because he had the sins of all the people that the Father had placed in him before the foundation of the world. And then in John 19:30, our Lord said, the last words that he said before he gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished. And then we're going to look at his exaltation, if we will, real quickly. Let's look at 9 through 11. He says, therefore, God, in our text, God also have highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that it's the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what the Holy Word of God says about our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no salvation except in his Lordship. Romans 10:9 says that if I shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. He may not be a Savior to some, but there is one thing that is a fact. He is absolute Lord to all men. All sons of Adam, he is absolute Lord. The Father put the kingdom in his hands before there was a kingdom. He is Lord by God's almighty decree. In Revelation 19:16, It says, "And he hath on his vesture and on the thigh a name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." God's chosen people recognize this. They receive and they bow to our Lord Jesus Christ as our prophet to know God, our priest to bring us to God, and our king to reign, for him to reign over us. The Bible says that we were bought with a price. What was that price? His precious blood, spotless Lamb of God. This verse right here, you know, we're here. God has saved us. And we're here for a purpose. It says in 1 Peter 3:15, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give an answer for every man that asks you as a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, in other words, with great compassion and love, and with great reverence toward our Lord." When we're out in this world, whenever we need something that I need to do, I need to ask God for me to be more concerned and for him to open up doors of opportunity for me to witness to people that has never been had the privilege. We don't know what a privilege it is to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But to open up the doors, and when he does, may we witness to him. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, "I don't force my belief on no one." And he is a grace preacher, and I love him very much. He said, "I force my opinion on no one. But if they come to me and if they ask me what I believe, I'll take the scriptures. I'll tell them what I believe, and then I'll show them in the scriptures why I believe it." I want to leave you with one more verse, if you don't care. Turn to 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles 29. First Chronicles 29, verse 11 through 13. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is so precious. It says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is yours. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great, and to give strength unto all." Now listen to this verse. "Now therefore our God, the elect, we thank thee and we praise thy glorious name forever and forever, not only in this life, but in the life to come." You're dismissed.